Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue with our discussion of the visitations of Our Lady that have taken place in our time. She appeared at Fatima, she appeared at Lourdes, and now Our Lady has come to America to bring us an urgent notice from on high that our days upon earth are about up. What she prophesied at Fatima is about to unfold in our time with the loss of great life upon earth. Yes, Our Lady says there will be a great chastisement set upon humanity soon, and only those who listen to the message from heaven will be ready. So Our Lady has come to counsel us, as she did in the past. Her message today is essentially the same as in the past. She asks that we return to lives of penance, sacrifice, and prayer. She says that communication and prayer must be constant now in the lives of every person on earth in order to have contact with the light. Because, as Our Lady has often said, the world at this last hour has lapsed into deep spiritual darkness, when there is no spiritual guidance left to speak of anywhere upon earth today. Even so, there are still those today that want to make a turn for the better, and who want to learn how to pray, but who are afraid to ask how. Let these dear people know that it was never intended by God that they should be in the dark on this matter. Through the Church, the Mother of God has given the world the answer to prayer with the Most Holy Rosary. It is the prayers of the Rosary that have shaped the lives of Christians and saints down through the ages of time. The Bible stated that all generations to come would hail Mary. Luke 1:48. This indeed has been done through the Holy Rosary. The early Christians recited the 150 consecutive Hail Marys to Our Lady, though this was done without the beads that we're accustomed to using today. This devotion was known in the early Church as the 150 Psalms to Jesus and Mary, prefigured, of course, by the 150 Psalms of the Bible. It was in 1214 that the Blessed Virgin appeared to St. Dominic in his chapel and actually handed him the beads of the Rosary with the commission that he go forth and spread this age-old devotion throughout the world. With beads in hand being spurred on, Father Dominic, through the power of the Rosary, went about preaching and converting thousands everywhere, hundreds of thousands, as he cast out devils, cured the sick, and even raised a dead to life on three occasions. And to think that the very beads of prayer that empowered St. Dominic and other saints are the same beads that we're now privileged to employ in our own personal lives. And this is what Our Lady is telling us, that we got to pull those beads out of our closet where they're collecting dust. With the Rosary, we have in our midst a priceless treasure wherewith to enrich our lives. It's the missing link we've been looking for, and this is what Our Lady's telling us, that we have broken that link, that we've broken that contact with the Eternal Father, because we today, with a little help from modernist clergy, have listened to Satan and have thrown our beads in the trash, thinking falsely that they're no longer necessary or that this devotion is outdated or not suitable for the days in which we're living. But these beads were given for these very days, to fight the battles of the Lord and to make our way back to the kingdom as champions for the Father. It is for reason that Padre Pio referred to the Rosary as the weapon, for one must always remember that the devil is terrified of Mary, as she is the one who is going to crush his head, Genesis 3:15. Therefore, anybody who allies himself to Mary through the Rosary and gets on her good side receives her special protection and graces and shares in this victory over Satan. The Rosary truly is the heavenly armor that God has given to the world at this last hour to crush the influence of Satan, to crush the influence of temptation, and to establish our link once again to heaven. For with the Rosary, as Our Lady said, we hold the power of God in our hands, and that is no lie. The weapon. That was Padre Pio's estimation of this holy chain, the weapon. It's also been referred to as the scourge, the whip. The Rosary is an integral part of our armor in this battle against Satan. But the Rosary is also heaven's answer to world peace. During the apparitions of Fatima back in 1917, the Blessed Virgin stated that unless the world heeded her request to say the daily Rosary, Russia would spread her errors throughout the world, rising up wars and unrest and seditions, which would also include terrorism, and also that there would be a great persecution of the Church. In our time, the threat of nuclear war is becoming increasingly prevalent. The Holy Father realizes the present threat to world peace, and for this reason he declared this past year, October 2002 to 03, to be the year of the Rosary. Would that all the priests of the Church followed his lead and preached the Rosary each day from the pulpits. Jesus once told Blessed Alan de la Roche, quote, "You are crucifying me because you have all the learning and understanding that you need to preach my mother's rosary, and you are not doing so." Blessed Alan, by the way, was a priest, and even the priests of our time are crucifying Christ by their irreverent, belittling attitude toward the rosary, which is inexcusable. since God has given the world such a good and Marian Pope. I quote our present Holy Father on the Rosary where he says, "The Rosary is my favorite prayer, a marvelous prayer, marvelous in its depth and simplicity. I cordially exhort everyone to recite it." Let us join with John Paul and the many throughout the world who are presently attempting to hold back the oncoming tide of evil through a constant string of rosaries, bead to bead, link to link, going throughout the world. What Our Lady said at Fatima would apply at the present time when she said, "If my requests are not heeded, various nations will be annihilated." And this is essentially what Our Lady is telling us today. I quote Our Lady speaking on April 14, 1984, when she said, "How many times I came upon earth to try to warn you. Those nations that listened were free from harm, but they had to pray the rosary and the scapular." Again, she says, quote, "You will make it known to the world that the rosary of prayer and the scapular for protection shall be the major instruments from heaven to safeguard mankind in the days ahead." And that is the Great Mother of God speaking on July 15th, 1978. And of course, these revelations are the revelations of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. Bayside has been called the continuation of Fatima. We might look at Bayside as the full dose. Back at Fatima, Our Lady extended to us the rosary and the scapular. And now she has come forth at this last hour to extend to us once again these two channels of grace, hoping to save the world from complete destruction. This fulfills her prophecy to St. Dominic back in the 13th century, when she told him, "One day, through the rosary and scapular, I will save the world." And that day is now. Were it not for Our Lady's intercession at this last hour, the entire world would be destroyed. But because of her intercession and this message from heaven, only three-quarters of the world will be destroyed, but not the entire world. Yes, Our Lady says that a great chastisement is now coming upon mankind, in which up to three-quarters of the human race will perish. The one quarter that remains will meet with Christ in his second coming and will reign with him 1,000 years, which is the era of peace promised by Our Lady at Fatima, which is also the 1,000 years peace prophesied by St. John in his Apocalypse or Revelations. Our Lady says her son will return to earth at the height of the great chastisement. Were he not to return, there would be no flesh left upon the earth, echoing those words of the gospel where Jesus said, "And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened." Matthew 24:22. Our Lady says, those days are upon us, with the approach of the Third World War, and the ball of redemption, a fiery comet sent from God. And she has come forth in these latter days to alert the world to this reality, and to give us all the necessary instructions and armor that we need to brave these difficult times, the most important piece of armor again being that rosary. Our Lady promises that anyone who listens to her message and who prays the daily rosary will be protected and cared for in the coming days and will be saved, and that is a promise. Our Lady does not go back on her word. But let's keep our word to her that we're going to say that rosary each day, and that we're going to lend our ears to the message from heaven and hear what she has to say to the world in these last days. What she doesn't want us doing is lending our ears to the serpent when he comes to us and tells us the Catholic Church is no good, and that we should change the Catholic Church. You should throw your rosary away. You shouldn't worship statues. You shouldn't pray to Mary. There's no purgatory or hell. You're not saved by your works. The Bible is the only source of revelation, and you should call none upon earth your father. Now, just as a little rebuttal, the Bible says, honor thy father and mother. And Christ is very emphatic about this, which means that young people are to pay proper respect to their parents. Now, what are you going to call your dad if his name is Frank? Are you going to say, "Hi, Frank"? Or are you going to say, "Hi, Dad," or "Hi, Father"? So clearly these hypocrites don't know the first thing about Holy Scripture. Just for the record, this passage has nothing to do with the priests or the fathers of our families, but is an exhortation to look only to Christ and to please him only as Master. As he says, let none of you be called rabbi, and call none upon earth your father, and let none of you be called masters or teacher. In other words, he doesn't want us looking up to man for the answers. But then the priests represent him, so we are supposed to hear them. As he even tells the apostles, he who hears you, hears me. But then again, he didn't mean Judas. And who are the Judases of our time, but those that are trying to change the Catholic Church since Vatican II, because they are ashamed of what Jesus Christ gave to the world in the beginning. And these modernist priests are going to have to reckon with their fathers soon, for they're having adopted secular or Protestant ideas into their households. And then they want to know why they have things today like sex abuse. It's because of their corny procedures. When we adulterate the ceremonies and solemnities of God, then we're going to have adulterated spirituality. It's as simple as that. As Jesus said right in the Bible, by their fruits you will know them. And 30-odd years of rotten fruits should be enough evidence that a mistake was made back in Vatican II. Our Lady says that Satan has entered upon the Catholic Church at this last hour, and he entered the Church through Vatican Council II. That was like the hatch. And Pope Paul even stated this on June 29, 1972, when, in reminiscing on the Council, he said, "From some fissure the smoke of Satan entered into the temple of God." And this is why Our Lady has said, quote, "The Father plans to waken those who have fallen asleep in his house by a great warning." And that's Our Lady speaking, November 24th, 1973. If you'd like to learn more about this warning, write to us. Send your letters to St. Michael's, World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Or you can call our toll-free line. That's 1-800-345-MARY. And now we're going to hear from our president, Michael Mangan, as he reports from the sacred grounds of Bayside, where Our Lady today has made her appearance.
Tonight is Friday, August 1st. It's my pleasure to have with me Sandra Alvarado from the Dominican Republic here this evening. Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. How are you?
And Sandra, let's start it off. How were you first introduced to the messages of Bayside?
I was introduced by my cousin who lived nearby, and she has been a very great devotee of the Our Lady. She brought me here because I had problem having children, and the first time I came and asked Our Lady for a possibility, and it did happen.
What year was that, Sandra, that you were first introduced?
That was 97, 98.
97, 98, and you came to one of our prayer vigils, and what was your first thoughts?
Hope, a lot of hope. I came looking for a very desperate, and I felt like I had hope, and I felt so clear, so home here.
Now, what were you desperate about, and what were you hopeful for?
The first time I was desperate because I couldn't have children. Every time I got pregnant, I would lose my pregnancy, and I wanted to have children.
And how many years was this going on for, Sandra?
6 years.
6 years, so that's quite a while.
I lost 4 pregnancies before my first child through Our Lady that had gave me the possibility to have my first baby.
Interesting. And, of course, through God's providence, you were led by your cousin to this shrine of Our Lady of the Roses, Mary, Help of Mothers. For 6 years, you were trying to have a baby. You came here in 1997.
Yes.
For the first time, you were praying and invoking Our Lady of the Roses for help, and you did have a pregnancy and a baby.
That's correct. I did have a pregnancy, and I did have my baby safely, and I had it here in New York, and the first thing I did was bring it here to Our Lady, and I got her first rosary right here from Our Lady, and the petal that you give him away, that was the first thing that she ever got. It was right from here, from this ground.
Oh, wonderful. Is it a here? Here?
She and her name is Mary. Yes.
You're named after the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes.
Wonderful. How old is Mary?
She's 5 right now.
She's 5. So that was your first miracle. I mean, after many, many years of trying to have a baby, and here, coming here, you were blessed with your first child. And wow, that is so precious. Now, you're saying that you had even a greater miracle than that.
Yes. I got pregnant for a second time when the other baby was only a year old. And when I was 6 months pregnant, the doctors diagnosed the baby abnormal, and I had to have an abortion. That's what they had requested, an abortion to avoid any problem or further consequences, which I refused, of course, being against abortion. So what I did, I evoked Our Lady, the Virgin Mary, again. Not that I had forgotten her at all, because I was with her every day of my life.
Why wouldn't you, Sandra? The first time worked pretty well, didn't it?
Absolutely. That's exactly so. I was grateful to her every day of my life. So I thought that this time it might have been a test to see if I really believed in her, because the first time it seemed easier. The miracle, it wasn't as big, I thought. But this time I just came and I trusted her. I gave all my trust, all my hope on the Virgin. So I told the doctors that I would put my trust and my faith in the Virgin. I did the rosary every single night to thank her and let her know that I knew that she was with me and that everything was going to be okay.
Oh, wonderful. Now, when you said the rosary, did you actually come here to the sacred grounds to pray the rosary, or in your home, or both?
I did both. Every time there was a vigil, I would be here doing it. And when there wasn't, I would just come by and then go and do it at home before I went to bed.
Wonderful. So just to recap now, at 6 months, you were given word in the Dominican Republic by the doctors there that the baby would be abnormal or deformed. They recommended that you abort it. Naturally, that was unacceptable. I understand now the doctors recommended that you come here to New York to another hospital. Can you take us from there?
Yes, they recommend that I come and see a specialist, or better doctors, what they will call. And I came here and went to the Flushing Medical Center, and they had the fetal medicine, and they did everything they could. They couldn't figure out what the problem was, and they said that there was definitely no cure for it, so they recommended me to go to the Columbia here University. They sent me there as a guinea pig, actually. They asked me permission to treat me and find out what it was, to do a research, rather more than looking for a cure. They were absolutely sure that there was no cure, there was no hope.
And what did they see at this point? It was the same diagnosis, Sandra?
Yes, absolutely.
What were they seeing or diagnosing, or what were they trying to treat or do?
Well, this diagnosed the problem. It's what they call hydropolemnia. It was a hydropic baby by the terms of the books. A hydropic baby is a baby that it's like a little fish, that all the organs were floating in waters, and there was water under the skin of the head, of the scalp, of the whole body. And of course, we all know that no human can survive swimming only in water. That's what the medical speaking the problem was. And they said that unfortunately, they hadn't been able to get any baby was able to survive that kind of situation.
And so how many weeks were you going back and forth from different medical centers and doctors and this and that?
Fortunately, it only lasted 2 weeks. From the day they diagnosed the problem to the last day that they gave up. And they gave me 3 days to rest before they could do any other research, because they had run out of possibilities to do any further research. They even talked about doing an autopsy after the baby, quote unquote, they expected to be born dead, and to find out, and at least they would help me to avoid another pregnancy with that kind of problems. They, since I was sure the baby wasn't going to be born dead, they sent me to a psychiatric unit to get some help, because they understood that I didn't accept the diagnosis.
Your faith was telling you something else.
Absolutely. And I kept telling them. Of course, sometimes they think you're too religious, and then you just hang on to that possibility. And I kept telling them that it
was. They probably thought you were in denial. As a mother, that you were in denial. You didn't want to hear this.
That's what they call it, that I was in denial, and I didn't accept the diagnosis, so that I needed to be treated myself with a psychologist to help me through the whole process. So when I lost the baby, they would say I wouldn't lose my mind, because they were so sure that I was going to go crazy, because they expected the baby just to be born dead.
Wow. Interesting. So this all happened in 2 weeks. So basically, they sent you home and says, well, this is what's going to happen in another 2 or 3 months.
Exactly. If I made it 2 or 3 months.
Then what happened?
So what happened was they said, well, go and take 3 days off. Not to mention that with the pregnancies that I had lost and my first baby that I had, I had a cesarean section with both of them. So I wasn't able to have even normal babies or anything like that. So in those 3 days, I went into labor, and every time I go to the hospital, they would send me back home and the whole ordeal, and the baby was born. 3 days later, perfect condition, small, because it was only 6 months pregnant, but perfect condition, no medical problem, nothing to be treated. There was not the regular baby being born.
So it was born premature, but healthy.
Absolutely healthy. Uh-huh.
No abnormalities or defects, nothing?
Nothing at all. My baby has never been to a doctor because of any other baby wouldn't have.
That is unbelievable. So you were only in the hospital for 3 days?
Yes.
And you said it was a normal delivery or a C-section?
A normal delivery, which it wasn't supposed to happen either.
Wow, but the first miracle baby was a C-section?
Yes.
Wow.
Precautions with the first.
Unbelievable. So you had a normal delivery and the baby was premature 2.5 months. You were out in 3 days. Of course, the baby, which makes sense, had to be monitored.
Yes.
and checked for 2.5 months. Well, of course, we got to get back to the doctors. I mean, we know they were wiping egg off their face. They were humbled. What did they say? What did they do? What was their reaction?
And that's exactly what they said.
Did they actually say, what did they say?
The first thing they said to me is, I had no explanation for this. We don't have medical explanation for this. And they didn't want to even comment any further. I said, I have nothing that I can say how to explain what's happened here.
Did any of the doctors utter that word, miracle?
Yes, the pediatrician. She told me, she said, from my point of view, you can go anywhere and write it down as a miracle, because I have never seen this before.
Wow.
She used the word miracle, and she told me, you can go ahead and say it, because I have never seen it before.
And how old was she, and how long was she a pediatrician, as far as you could discern?
Well, she was, I would say she was mid-40, and she was supposed to be one of the best pediatricians in the hospital. That's why she was in charge of the baby. Because since they expected this whole problem, they had a big unit stand by with my case, because they were all curious about it, and everybody wanted to see me, everybody wanted to check me, everybody wanted to know. And she was supposed to be a very good pediatrician, a very good doctor.
Incredible. Now, you have the documentation, you have the medical papers, do you not?
Yes, I do have all the diagnosis from the sonogram that they did, and everything of the follow-up of the problem, written down by words, exactly the term and everything. And also I have the medical record after when the baby was born. When you compare the two, it doesn't apply, because the medical record is for a normal, healthy baby, and the diagnosis, it doesn't apply to a normal baby. It's supposed to be a baby that's not to be born alive.
Science was really humbled with this one. An incredible miracle. But this is the story of Bayside, Sandra, as you know. I mean, just wonderful stories and miracles like this through the intercession of the Blessed Mother. And of course, we thank our dear Veronica for being so faithful and persevering with this mission that allows you and me to partake in these prayer vigils and be the beneficiaries of all these graces.
I am very grateful to Our Lady, and I will be coming back here as long as I live. Actually, tonight I'm asking for my third baby, and because people tell me that I shouldn't have any more. I said every baby has his own story, and I'm sure Our Lady will be with me. And I'm so grateful that I want to tell the whole world about it so people believe, because it is so true. It happened, and I have the papers prove it. I mean, all the people that know me, the doctors, when they first diagnosed the whole case, the first doctor that diagnosed it, I went back to him, and he just said, there's no way, and if he didn't know who I was, he wouldn't believe it.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's beautiful. It's nice that a family has one miracle, but you have two miracles.
I had two. I feel blessed. I feel blessed because I had two, and I wish I could give and do a lot to give back from those blessings.
Well, God bless you, Sandra, that you recognize the graces operating here and that you are coming here to give thanks. You've come quite a distance from the Dominican Republic. That's a long trip.
Yes, and I will keep doing it. I mean, no distance will stop me from thanking here and what's given to me.
It is. I mean, for a mother to give birth to two precious babies like that against all odds. I mean, this is so profound. This is very deep.
It is. It is to me. I don't even know. I feel like I don't even deserve it because it's too much.
Were you always a churchgoer yourself, or did you fall away or lapse? Were you lukewarm?
I had my lapse. And then thanks to my cousin, I went back to it She brought me back to it with real faith.
And that, again, is the influence of Bayside. Again, the graces that she has received,
she's
sharing them with you.
Yes, absolutely.
And you're passing it on to your husband and your kids, and you see the ripple effect. Amazing.
Yes, I get everything, all the literature and everything that I can to pass it on to other people, because I feel it's my responsibility to tell everybody I can, to let everybody know about it so they can follow and they can come back and believe in her.
Wonderful. What a beautiful, touching story, Sandra. And we are so happy for you. God bless you, Sandra. Any final comments for our listeners?
Just everybody to follow and ask. They ask and believe, because she gives, she blesses. And to come back around, and no matter how bad we might feel and we think we can't or we shouldn't, yes, come back, because it's here for everybody.
Definitely. You find out for sure that the Blessed Mother delivers big time here.
Yes, and as long as we come back to her, she'll be there for us.
Absolutely. And God bless you, Sandra, and have a safe trip back to the Dominican Republic.
And thank you for sharing this with me as well.
God bless you.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we thank you, Sandra, for sharing your beautiful testimony with our listeners. That's certainly one for the books. As her own doctor told her, you can go ahead and write this up as a miracle, this being the most reputed doctor in the center. As they told her, they had never come across a baby with this condition, a fetus, that is, that had been known to survive it, with no medical explanation having been offered to date. And of course, the name Anna means grace or mercy, and that's exactly what this baby was. She was the direct product of God's grace flowing through the gentle hands of Our Lady. Now we can see why Our Lady is called Help of Mothers. She really lived up to her title here. She not only helped a mother, but she made a mother. She produced the grace of motherhood for Sandra, just as she has produced many graces and wonders in the lives of her children throughout the world. And she doesn't discriminate against anyone. She invites your letters. She invites your petitions. You may send them to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. There's no cost to receive this information, but again, we do remind you that your financial assistance is necessary to keep this program on the air. So if you'd like to see this message continue each week over this station, then send along your gift offerings today made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. And again, we do remind you that your donation is tax deductible. The mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or you can visit us at www.smwa.org.